Welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, today we are going to have a story, a personal story. And so it's my great pleasure to have Dolan van der Pol, or van der Pol, I should pronounce it correctly, here with me to share his story. Dolan is originally from South Africa, has been living here with his wife and his two children, and goes to church in Cornerstone Slievebloom Church in Tullamore. And so it's a great pleasure to have him here with us to share his story and how he has made that journey to coming to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour and his journey of faith, which we will explore in greater detail. So, Dolan, I just want to thank you for coming and joining us here in Heartlands. And when we have a person on to share the story, I ask three questions. And the first question that I would ask you is, what was life like for you before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Hey, thank you for having me, Nigel. Okay, I suppose we start at the beginning. Good to give you a bit of a background. So I grew up in South Africa. I was part of a good family, but I didn't have a permanent home, seeing as though we moved around a lot. I attended 13 different schools during my schooling career. And even in 1 year, I attended 4 different schools. So, you know, sometimes we used to live in a caravan, and sometimes we lived in tents. It was just the nature of my dad's work, you know. He was traveled around a lot, you know. Because of this, I sort of became a very rebellious type of a guy. And I hated to be told what to do, and I would fight a lot. And I would get plenty of hidings and so forth from school because I was very unsettled. People used to ask me the question, you know, so where do you come from? And I really couldn't answer that because I didn't have a fixed abode. I had no fixed home. And that really worried me because, you know, someone would ask me, so where's your house? And I would be embarrassed to say, well, I live in a caravan or I live in a tent, you know. And that really affected me as I grew older. Because of that, I was rebellious. But I like to say, though, I had loving parents. My parents were never abusive. They loved me and they provided for me in every aspect. I never went hungry. And I always had a roof over my head, even if it was canvas. And so at about 8 or 9 years old, my mom started to attend Assemblies of God Church. And this was sort of my introduction into spiritual things in my life. Even though I hated it, my mom used to force me to go to Sunday school, and she forced me into church evenings, you know. I didn't enjoy it one bit, and I used to hate it, and I rebelled against it very much. At that time, we started to experience supernatural phenomena. So because we moved around so much into different houses and things like that, what I mean by that is we lived in this one particular house where there would be unexplained sounds. There would be apparitions in my room. For instance, one evening when I was climbing to bed, I look up into the corner of my room, and it was just this thick black cloud and like a sense of like fear, like I cannot even explain, you know. And I would run to my parents' room, and I would refuse to go to sleep in that room. And other various things like glasses and plates breaking for no apparent reason, things like that. So I became aware of a spiritual world that was very real, but I had no sort of box that I could put it into. I remember one particular time I was walking in a churchyard, and two boys, just cannot really explain to you what it was like, but two boys appeared and they tackled me and they pushed me onto the ground. And I had a knife that my dad had given me hung around my neck, and they pulled this knife off my chest, and they took it and they said, you deny God exists, you deny Christ right now, and otherwise we're going to beat you. And, you know, I was in fear, and I said, okay. And then when I got up, I looked around and they disappeared. And to this day, I cannot understand what that was about, you know. It was sort of blotted out of my memory. And I only remembered that much later on in my life after the Holy Spirit brought back these memories. But anyway, we eventually moved to Durban City. And that's where I started my teenage years. We moved into a bit of a bad area. And I started to fall into the wrong company. So I spent a couple of years in Durban. And then we moved again. Been to a place, Northern Zululand. And this is where I really started to get sidetracked by the things of the world. And I started drinking while I was still at school. I started experimenting with weed, and they call it dacha in South Africa, and I started to realize that there was a thing such as girls, and you know, so the life started to get interesting in that type of way, and I started to chase after these things because this was exciting and new. Then my parents decided to move again, and I wasn't having it because I said, "There's enough is enough." And one of my friends at that time offered me a place to stay, and he had a room in their property. And I essentially, at the age of 16, I'd left home and I was staying with my friend. And so it was party time. And from then on, I did everything that I wasn't supposed to do. So, you know, I carried on, and I got to eventually did my matric, which is the same as your leaving cert year. And I got called up into the military. At that time in South Africa, every young man had to do 2 years military service. So I went up into the army. Obviously, in the army, you know, there's stories about drinking, and I started to drink more heavily. And I got called up to the operational area. And so at that time, South Africa was very much in a war situation. And we called it the operational area. It's the red zone. The area between Angola and Southwest Africa. So I spent a year up there in operational zone. And at that time, I met another young man there who was very much involved in the New Age movement. And he would sleep with a pyramid underneath his bed. I got interested in this. I said to him, "What is this pyramid thing about?" And he started to explain to me about the power of the pyramid and how it energizes you when you sleep, and all New Age. And then he started to tell me about astral projection and how you could come out of your body and how you could travel anywhere you liked and all this type of thing. And I listened and I took it all in. And but he was a dark guy, you know. He was on the verge of being a Satanist and New Age type thing. And anyway, I was very interested in this, and I learned a lot about that type of thing. Although, I must just emphasize at this time that all through my supernatural experiences and through my drugging and my drinking and my partying and everything like that, there was an aspect of something keeping me back from going too far. So I would always say I never had the addictive personality. I never got addicted to these things because I was being held back. And I only know now, I can only attribute this to God's providence over my life that kept me from going too far. And I just want to give him the glory for that right now.
Okay, Roland. Look, thank you so much. And we'll take it up again after the break. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And my guest today is Dolan. And Dolan is sharing with us his story of faith. In the first part of the program, he's been explaining to us what life was like for him as a child, which was very transient, moving from place to place, having no fixed abode, and that had a very unsettling effect on him. Also, his church experience was that his mother just started suddenly, out of the blue, started making him go to church, which was something he rebelled against and didn't like and resented. A situation that many young people, I am sure, even without the transient lifestyle, feel about church is, why do I have to go here? Why am I being made come along? Mm. Then it got to a point where he started to explore other things, and at the age of 16 decided he wasn't moving anywhere anymore and started to live with a friend and party hard. Life then took him to the army. Even though up to the point of living in his friend's house and then going to the army, he had spoke of spiritual phenomena that was coming into his life or that he was aware of. And then he got to a point where he's actually with a person in the army who is actually practicing Satanism, even though he may not have known it, and talking about astral projection, etc., which opened up a whole new area for Dolan. But yet you were saying, Dolan, that there was something was holding you back, something that was stopping you from getting immersed and going into this too deeply. And so, if you don't mind, can you please take up the story there again from us and explain where you're going from here?
Yeah, so, you know, I've always known in my life that there is a God, but I'd never served him wholeheartedly. But I attribute that fact that I never went too far into the things of the world addiction-wise, like others have, because God's providence, he was holding me. He knew he had a plan for my life. I get very emotional when I think about that, because that's the love of God. You know, he loved me so much, that he cared so much for me, that he only allowed me to go so far. Anyway, to carry on with my story, you know, I finished up in the army, and obviously I had given no more thought to my spiritual life and what it took, you know. Whenever I started to think of something spiritual, I would end up in fear, because I understand now that fear is part of the enemy's strategy to keep you from coming to the truth. Then from the army, it was straight into college. And obviously, you know, like every young man in college, it's party time again. And so I lived my life just as I pleased. I did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. I didn't care who I hurt. The only thing that I worried about was my selfishness and how I could satisfy my desires. But while I was at college, I met a particular girl. She was never my girlfriend or anything like that. But she had something about her that was very interesting. And in fact, she is actually in Ireland at this moment right now as I speak. She moved over here. I'll never forget her, because she invited me to church on a few occasions. And I remember attending church once. But she gave me a book. And this book was written by Rebecca Brown, who has since passed away. But she's known for... She was a high priestess in the Satanism movement, and she's written a number of books. And the book that she gave me was called I Came to Set the Captives Free by Rebecca Brown, MD. And I started to read this in my little room at college. As I read this, I could feel an evil presence surround me all the time, that I would actually take that book, close it, and I would throw it aside. I could hardly get to the end of the book. In fact, when you start reading that book, it warns you. It says, do not start reading this book unless you are prepared to follow through in this spiritually. That's how powerful this is. And anyway, I got through this book and I threw it one side, but it made a vast impression on my life. Anyway, I carried on. I pushed it aside because I didn't want to deal with it at that time. I finished college and then I went back into the work environment, and I happened to end up in the construction industry because I'm a civil engineering technician. We ended up in single quarters, and then it was more drinking, it was more partying, it was more lifestyle, etc. like that. Came to meet my wife, and we got married. We were both in the world at that time. We started off on a life together. I would say that is more or less my circumstances that brought me up to accepting who Jesus was, accepting who the Lord was in my life, you know. So the circumstances that led me to become a Christian... I was getting deeper and deeper into alcohol and the party life, even while married. But I started to get very sick of it. I started to ask questions. Surely there must be more to life than this. Surely there has to be something else. I started to read New Age books, and I got back into the New Age philosophy, and I started to be drawn spiritually towards that because I wanted answers. And little knowing that the answers were in the Bible, the answers were for the truth were in the Bible itself. But you know, you wouldn't think to pick up the Bible when there's all sorts of other books and things around. At that time, I also got invited to do some work at a church, and while I was working there, the pastor and etc., you know, they would invite me to come and pray with them, and you know, and just before we'd eat, sit down and eat, and they would pray. And And I looked at these guys, and I specifically looked into their eyes, and I saw something in them, something. And I said, if I can have that, if I can have what they've got, then I know I've found what I need. Because there was their eyes had this peace, unexplainable peaceful look on their face. And this was something that God used in my life to bring me to him, because I wanted that peace. I wanted that look. I said, Lord, if I can have that look in my eyes, then I know I have found something valuable. It just so happened at that time, I went to the mirror and I prayed and I looked at my image in the mirror and I said, God, if you are out there, if you are true, I want to know you. I want to know the true God. You know, the word of God says in Matthew 7:7, if you ask and you seek, you will find. And it says in Jeremiah 29, it says, if you will seek me, you will find me. And this is what I was doing. I was seeking after God. You know, he was drawing me at that time. And when I looked in the mirror, I said to God, oh, show me truth. And he placed me, I say he placed me because it was him. He placed me with a born-again Christian at work. Now, we were working out in the rural areas of South Africa, deep in the Transkei area, which is very rural and remote. And he lived in a caravan, and I would travel 160 kilometers a day from my home to get there. And we used to sit down, and he just asked me a question. He said, do you know God, and do you know Jesus, and do you go to church? And I was like a wise aleck, and I said, yeah, I have a church. I have a bush church, and, you know, I was one of those wisecrackers, and I always had an answer. But he was getting to me because he would sit down, and he had a kindness about him. He had a peacefulness about him that I wanted. And I listened to him. One day he had left in my van an invitation which invited me to a church that he attended to. Lay in my van, I cannot recall now precisely, but it must have been a couple of months that invitation lay in my van. And one Sunday morning I'd gone out and I was having my cup of coffee, having my smoke, whatever. And I looked in the van and I saw this invitation and it said 9 o'clock service. So I said to my wife, you know what, today I'm going to church. And off I went to the church.
Very good. Thank you, Don. Look, we'll take it up again after the break. Thank you. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where I'm speaking with Dolan. And Dolan and his family go to Cornerstone Sleevebloom Church in Tullamore. And Dolan has been sharing with his journey, which has brought him up to a point where after much partying and dabbling in Satanism and having read a book by a lady who was a Satanist who obviously left Satanism, It came to a point where he was working with a man out on the buildings, way out in the middle of nowhere, and the conversations got around to God. But the thing that was drawing Dolan was the peace that he could see in the eyes of Christians. That peace that Scripture goes and says is beyond understanding, and he wanted this. And so an invitation had been left in his van for a period of time, and then eventually one Sunday morning he decided he was going to church. I just think that must have been an interesting conversation between you and your wife, you walking back in and say, hey darling, I'm off to church. So anyhow, Dolan, off to church you're going. How did that fare out for you?
Right. Thank you, Nigel. My wife was very surprised because she knew me to be the hard drinker, the man who loved the party, the man who was always at the rugby match and getting drunk out of his mind and carrying on. You know, she knew me like that. She didn't know me as a churchman. And anyway, I got into my van and off to church I went, and I walked in there and there was a traveling evangelist. All I remember about him, he was a guy from America. And I cannot even remember what he preached. But I knew that that was my day. Because he preached the message. And when he gave the call to come up front and to give your life over to God, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me at that time. I didn't know it at that time, but now I know. But I felt God speak to me. And this is what he said. He said to me that, Dolan, today I've brought you here, and today you make a decision. You do not leave this place without deciding to follow me or not to follow me. He said, this is basically the last time I'm going to give you a chance to answer that question. And I really felt that this was the last opportunity because, you see, God had protected me so many times from death. So many times that the enemy had tried to take my life in unexplained accidents, fights, alcohol poisoning, all sorts of unexplained phenomena in my life that had happened. I can just relate perhaps one thing when I was still a child. I remember running off the end of a donga. A donga in South Africa is like a huge area that's been washed out with water, and it's a deep, possibly 40, 50 feet down some of them. And I remember running as a small boy over the edge of this. And as I went over the edge, I looked down and I saw the car wrecks that were at the bottom where they throw the old cars, you know, into these holes to rust away. And as I started falling, something from the side, almost like a wind, pushed me and pulled me back up onto the side. And this I couldn't remember until I was had given my life to God again, and He brought this back to remembrance. This obviously was a divine interruption in my life, where an angel or something had come and saved me, you know. So, you know, definitely that God had His hand on me all this time, and He was saying to me at this precise moment in time, He said, "Dolan, today you decide to follow after me or you are forever lost." I'd almost, as you could say, reached the end of my 9 lives type of thing. That's been my experience. I don't say it's true for anybody else. So I gave my life to the Lord at that moment. I repented, I turned my heart around, and I gave my life to God. And I said, from this day forward, I will serve you. I don't care what man thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. From this day forward, I will serve you, no matter what it takes. And that's what I did. I got born again instantaneously. Almost like Saul on his road to Damascus, well, you know, he saw the light and he was changed instantly. That's sort of what happened to me. So I changed instantly. And once that happens, your life takes on a different course. And, you know, God takes control. Once you put God into your life and He starts taking control, He starts leading and you start following.
Dolan, that is absolutely amazing how the Lord has intervened in your life. And it is so important that we as people give our lives to Christ and let Him be Lord of our lives. But what has life like been since that occasion, since you made Jesus Lord of your life?
I would say this is particularly interesting, because, you know, once you become born again, nobody sort of gets to read the fine print. You sign on the dotted line, but you don't read the fine print. You know, to be a Christian, you cannot be a sissy and be a Christian. I'll tell you that right now. Once you give your life to the Lord, it's hard. It's not easy after that. And I'll tell you, if anybody tells you it's easy after that, they walk away from that, because they're not telling you the truth. It's an exciting adventure. And I was starting to discover a whole new reality in my life. God started opening my eyes, you know. I had already had spiritual experiences, but now I started to see it from the perspective of a Christian side of things, and from the right side instead of from the wrong side. And God's grace was on that. And I always say that you know, when a man gives his heart to the Lord for the first time, God's grace is on that, and His protection is on that for a certain period of time. What I mean by that is, God will protect you initially, and then the test will come. And this has been my experience. So the tests came maybe 6 months or so after I gave my heart to the Lord. And my first test was to get rid of extreme fear, the demonic torment, and that would only come through prayer and fasting. So I was tested. You see, I picked up a lot of demonic influence in my life through the things I'd done. And the people I'd hurt and etc. You pick up baggage, and the Holy Spirit starts taking you through these things, and He started to work on my life. And the first test was to get rid of this extreme fear, and I could only manage that through prayer and fasting, and I had to go and be counseled for that, and it was through prayer that it disappeared. And I now understand that it was demonic influence that was still having a hold over my life, even though I was in the Lord. Secondly, my marriage. I almost destroyed my marriage. You see, my wife hadn't been born again. My wife was still in the world, and I had been born again. And this became an extreme problem. And I know it's a problem many marriages face today, where one partner suddenly becomes converted and the other is still in the world. It can be extremely testing. And a terrifying time as well, because we nearly got divorced over this, but for God's grace. And I just want to encourage somebody out there. If there's somebody out there listening and they're having this exact problem, push through. Don't allow the enemy to destroy your marriage. Keep pushing through. And I promise you, God is faithful and true. And when you put Him first, you're going to win, and you're going to see what God's going to do in your marriage. God hates divorce, but He loves marriage, because it was His idea, and God will fight for your marriage if you're prepared to fight for it. Another test was financial hardship. I lost my partnership in my business with my brother-in-law, and we had to basically start from scratch again. So our finances went down to virtually zero. We had no money. We had absolutely no money. We had to borrow money to go and visit my in-laws. We had to borrow money to put petrol in the car. I could give you a whole story about how hardship was, but you know what? God was faithful because we started to tithe and we believed in that and we took our money and we placed it in front of the Lord and we said, Lord, we give what we have. And this is what we believed as a spiritual principle, and God looked after us. We always had enough. So God started to work things out in my life slowly. I stopped drinking. I stopped getting drunk. I stopped smoking. I stopped going to parties. I had to get rid of some friendships that weren't good for me. So you know, when you become a Christian, you can't hang on to the old lifestyle and you can't hang on to the old friends. And as much as you love them, you know, if they are not good for you, then it's time for you to give them up. So I had to learn some hard lessons. Because I was such a rebellious person, I hated all authority, and God was showing me how to be submissive and how to have humility before authority. And that was one of the main things that I battled with. And God was working that out in my life.
Thank you, Don. We'll have to leave it there. I want to pick up and get the story again after the break. Thank you. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, and I am here with Dolan, who has been sharing his journey of faith from childhood right up along to when it came to a point where he went to this church service, had a dramatic experience with the Lord, and I think it's fair to call it dramatic, where the Lord actually went and said to him, "Today you choose, do you follow me or do you not?" And that caused Dolan to decide that he was going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was stepping into his new life as a Christian, which he goes and says God provided a nice cushion for him for about 6 months and everything was okay. And then test after test just seemed to hit him. He nearly lost his wife. His marriage nearly came to an end. Ended up that they were financially broke and he had to go and get a loan out just to go and to see the family and various different things such as that. And yet, even in that state of poverty, he came to the point where he decided, no, it was important for him to put this spiritual law of tithing into practice and give God the money. Mm-hmm. And so then he was sharing that at that point, that was when the breakthrough started to come through in that test. Mm-hmm. And Dolan, that's where we left off just before the break. So where did that take you then?
You know, when you trust God, anything is possible. And when you trust in the word of God, you find out very, very quickly that God's words are true. And so this is what we did. We applied God's words to our lives. I'm speaking about myself and my wife at this time. We started to trust God, and God was good. And so to cut a long story short, I don't need to go into the details, but God began to prosper us through various means. And I became a partner in another construction business. And we did very well through the boom times. So from 2004 up until about 2008, 2010, when there was an economic collapse. But we did very, very well. And we prospered and God was good. I provided my children with a home, which I had a permanent home, which was one of my prayers and the desire of my heart was to give my children stability that I always lacked as a child. Not love, I always was loved, but I lacked stability and I always felt like an outsider. And I tried to provide that for my kids, and which I did. I also made a promise to myself and to my kids that they would never, ever, ever see me drunk. They would never see me smoke a cigarette. They would never see me party and lose who I was. And I led from the front and I took them to church every Sunday and I did things with my kids and I brought them up the best that I knew how in the Lord. And for me, that was vitally important because of my past. And so I know that I've given them a good grounding and however they choose to live their life from then on, I believe that my wife and myself have given them a good grounding. So we prospered, and we did what any normal person would do. We'd go out and we'd enjoy our money and we'd do what we wanted to do. But there came a time, and I only realize that right now, is that I was starting to form my identity in the area that I was in and in prosperity that I was in, and that was becoming who I was. And that was not who God wanted me to be. God had other plans for me. And so back we went, back down. And everything, we lost everything again. And this started me off on another journey where I had to leave home and search for work in a city which was over 10-hour drive away from where we stayed. So I separated from my wife because of work reasons. But it became a time of healing. It became a time of soul searching. It became a time of introspection, and where my wife and myself, we could start to see beyond our little world that we had built up around us. You know, God was leading us in a direction which ultimately would end me up here in Ireland with the sole intention of serving Him and His kingdom completely, you know, devoid of the ambitions of money and devoid of those type of things which are what the world chases after. And so that, to cut a long story short, there's another whole story about how God got us here to this beautiful country, a wonderful blessing to be here, to serve the people of Ireland, to be in the church that we're in. It's such a blessing. And we're part of Bible Ireland, Cornerstone Sleeve Bloom Church. And we just go out there and we're just trying our best to serve the community and follow God's leading. And that's our heart behind it. There is a long story about how we came to be in Ireland. It's God's supernatural providence, His supernatural provision, and that would perhaps be for another time.
In the last few minutes of the program, Dolan, that we've left, is there a scripture that really impacted you or spoke to you during that time or during your journey? What's your favorite passage of scripture?
Yeah, there's definitely a scripture that I've held on to dearly all through my walk with the Lord over 20 years now, and that comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 3, where it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it will not consume you." Those are words which God gave to me when I was just starting out as a new Christian. And I was in that place of, like I'd mentioned earlier, of fear and torment. And this was a scripture that sort of fell out of the cubbyhole of my van one day as I was riding, and it sort of like blew up into my eyesight, and this was the scripture that just stood out for me. It was, "Fear not, for I've redeemed you." You know, God had surely gotten hold of me. He knows my name. He made it personal. He knows who I am. God cares so much for me. He called me by name. It's personal, and He says that I belong to Him. From now on, I belong to God, and nothing can snatch me out of His hand. And when I walk through problems, dangerous places, circumstances, you know, and I feel I can't sink. I can't sink. I will float above it because God has me. And when I walk through fire, I was a fireman at one stage in my life as well. I understand how hot fires are. And, you know, it will not affect me. The heat will not affect me. I'll not be consumed by the circumstances of life because God has me. And He promised to be over my life forever. And He gave me everything. And God doesn't hold back. You know, He's faithful and true, and His words are true. And I get to serve Him every single day in this beautiful country of yours. And of course, I still have many questions, but I'm trusting Him. And I know that His promises are yes and amen.
Dolan, look, thank you so much for coming onto the show today and sharing your story. And I think I will take you up on the rest of that journey that you have been speaking of. And I'd love to also get your wife's perspective,
yes,
if that is a possibility. But may the Lord continue to richly bless you as you continue your journey and adventure with Him, as He leads you and your family in the ways of righteousness for His name's sake. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Dolan. All that's left for me to say at this particular point is thank you for listening to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, show you grace, and turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen.